If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Father in heaven, we thank you for another day that you have allowed us to see. And dear God, we come before you as humbly as we know how, asking you, Lord, that you would forgive us this day of all of our sins and all of our trespasses against you. Forgive us, dear Lord, of all the errors of our ways. I pray and ask of you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would wash our heart and wash our mind. Lord God, that you would cleanse our spirit and our soul of everything, Lord God, that's unlike you. I pray and ask of you, Lord, that you would release us, dear Lord God, on today of every wicked work and every evil devices. Lord God, I pray that you would uproot every seed that you did not sow within our spirit. I pray that you would purge us again, purge our heart and purge our mind, dear Lord God. Make us clean, Lord God, on the inside and on the outside. I pray, dear Lord, that you look upon your people everywhere. Hear the cries of your people, Lord God. Meet them, Lord God, at their present need. Lord, you know their struggles. You know, Heavenly Father, Lord God, what we have need of even before we ask. And I pray and ask of you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, dear Lord God, that you would renew the hearts and the minds of man. Lord God, help your people find their way back to you. Oh, Lord God, so many has gone astray. So many, Heavenly Father, have walked away. So many, Lord God, have given up the fight. So many, Lord God, decided, Lord God, that they want to turn back, Lord God, and just do what they were doing, Lord God, while they were in the world. But, Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would remember the backslider. Oh, God, look upon those sheep that has gone astray and help them, dear Lord God, to come on back, Father, before it is too late. I pray, dear Lord, that you would strengthen your people everywhere. Oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord God, I pray that you bind the devil. Lord God, curse the very root of evil. And, dear Lord God, let them not, dear Lord God, fall prey, Lord God, to any of his devices. Lord God, as I come before you on today, I pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you will call the saints, Lord God, back to the front line. Lord God, back, Lord God, into your army. Lord God, back, Lord God, to doing the work that they were supposed to do. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we come before you, Lord God. Hallelujah, knowing, dear Lord God, that there is no failure in you. And Lord God, when you see failure, Lord God, that it is in us, Lord God, and not in the God that we serve. Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, as the word go forth, Lord God, prepare the hearts and minds, Lord God, to receive and to hear your word. And Lord, I pray that a seed would be sown in their spirit. And Father God, on today, they would make, Lord God, the determination that for God, I am going to live, and for God, I am going to die. And Lord God, we reverence your name. We give your name the praise and the glory. Lord God, that's due unto your name. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Praise God. As someone said, everybody, amen, ought to praise the Lord. Amen. Truly, I give honor, amen, to my God and my Savior. Amen. My Lord Jesus Christ. Just thankful and grateful for another day. Glory to God that he has made another day amen, that he has allowed us to see. Amen. All glory, all honor, and all praise, amen, belong to our King and our Savior. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I greet you in love. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, praise God, we'll be coming from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Again, that's the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And the word of the Lord reads, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Amen. May God bless us through this, the reading of his holy word. And today we're going to speak on a message which is entitled AWOL, A-W-O-L, which is an acronym which is used by military personnel that means absent without leave. Amen. The theme of 2 Timothy chapter 2 is the walk of a good soldier in the time of apostasy. With that being said, a good soldier would never go AWOL. In view of our lesson text, we find that the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to his son in the Gospel, Timothy, are considered as pastoral epistles. Timothy was a youth whom Paul took under his wings, in a matter of speaking, to mentor and help prepare him for the greater work to which he would be called. Paul's first encounter with Timothy was during his second missionary journey to Derbe and Lystra. In Acts chapter 16 and 1, we learn that Timothy was a disciple there, and he was the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and also a believer. But his father was a Gentile whose ethnicity was Greek. His father's name is unknown, but his mother's and grandmother, as mentioned in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, was named Eunice and Lois, respectively. It was his mother and grandmother that familiarized him with Old Testament scripture and most likely instructed Timothy in the Christian faith. Paul recognized that the same unfeigned faith that was found in Timothy dwelt first in his mother and grandmother, which points to impartation. So he had good role models in his life that were used to keep him grounded and to steer him in the right direction. Paul had heard good reports regarding Timothy while he was at Lystra, and he became Paul's companion and missionary partner along with Silas. In the open letters written by Paul the aged, he takes time to encourage and strengthen the more youthful Timothy. He was the next generation who was being called into leadership, and Paul wanted him to understand that it would not always be easy. His leadership and ministry at some point would be challenged. As Paul had to endure hardness, Timothy would also have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And just to take a sidebar to minister to the next generation of leaders, the first thing that you must be delivered from before you step into leadership are the tongues of men. Everybody is not going to love you or even like you. There will always be people that the enemy will use to challenge your position. So if you believe that everybody's going to love you, get ready for a rude awakening. By example, Moses was a prophet that none could be compared to before or after him. But he was challenged by his own sister and brother, Miriam and Aaron, who spoke out against him and questioned his leadership. Paul's authority in the gospel also came under scrutiny, and at intervals he defended his apostleship. He declared himself to be an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Even the Lord Jesus Christ's authority was questioned by his enemies. In Matthew chapter 21 and 23, we hear the chief priests and the elders of the people ask, "By what authority do you do these things, and who gave you this authority?" This gives us to know that the servant is not greater than his master. And those who are called by God will likewise be challenged. Another reality is that not all who started out with you will continue to follow you. Some will turn away and defect, just as they turned away from Jesus. In John chapter 6, it tells us that there were other disciples who followed Jesus that thought his sayings were hard to digest. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. The apostles during the Apostle John's ministry who also walked no more with him. So they also fell away. In 1 John chapter 1:19, he says, "They went out from among us, but they were not all of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." So in a perfect world, the children of God would be free of opposition. But this is only wishful thinking. As Paul declared in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 12, he says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So rejection, people questioning your position, being hated without a cause, internal and external attacks, being ostracized, criticized, losing membership, suffering the loss of some things or all things are not uncommon experiences for believers. Paul admonished Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. As someone that would undertake a leadership role, he had to be strong in mind and spirit. God didn't need a jellyback soldier. Soldiers are supposed to stand. And even in the face of apostasy, when people are falling away, we don't fall away with them. We stand. As soldiers, in the army of the Lord, you have got to have a strong constitution and be able to weather whatever is coming at you. Our mindset, as stated in our lesson text, is to please Him who hath chosen us to be a soldier. So how can we please Him who have chosen us to be soldiers? I will start off by saying that in joining the military and becoming a soldier, there's a process involved to transition from civilian life to military life. The drill sergeants are tasked with taking a person who is completely unfamiliar with the life of a serviceman and retraining them to act, think, and behave like a soldier. As a civilian, you are accustomed to doing things your way. You have the liberty to come and go as you please and answer to no one. Some of the people who join the military are unregimented and undisciplined, and it takes rigid training known as boot camp to acclimate a person to a soldier's way of life. The military has a code of conduct that all of its members are to abide by. There is a soldier's creed written by the Association of the United States Army, and to share some excerpts, it reads, "I am an American soldier. I am a warrior and member of a team. I serve the people of the United States and live the Army values. I will always place the mission first. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit. I will never leave a fallen comrade. I am disciplined, physically and mentally tough, trained and proficient in my warrior tasks and drills. I always maintain my arms, my equipment, and myself." When they take an oath to serve, defend, and protect this country, from the time that they are sworn in to the day of discharge, as the saying goes, they are married to Uncle Sam. Servicemen are no longer their own and cannot act independently from their commanding officer. Attention to details and obedience to the establishment is key. There is no tolerance for insubordination, dereliction of duty, cowardice, desertion, or treason. If court-martialed and found guilty of any of these things, it carries a maximum penalty. So we find so many parallel references in comparing the process of becoming a member of the armed forces to one who is called to be a soldier in the army of the Lord. When we first enlist in God's army, we were unrefined and unfit for the master's use. But when he called us and we said yes, we entered into a covenant agreement. When we said yes, it meant leaving behind or separating ourselves from the rudiment of this world, or in other words, the way that we used to conduct ourselves and the things that we used to govern ourselves by, never again conforming to this world, but to be transformed by the renewal of our minds. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 5 declares, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." We made a sacrifice to give up ourselves to become Christ's soldier. Paul admonished Timothy to refrain from entangling himself in civilian affairs. He said, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Soldiers don't turn back, they march forward. He leaves the affairs of this world and commits himself to the ministry so that he can please the captain of our salvation. If there was a creed for Christian soldiers, I believe I can borrow some of the bullet statements found in the creed of an American soldier. I will always place mission first. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit. I will pledge allegiance to my God. I will be disciplined in the things of God. I will forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. I will press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. All Christians, especially ministers of the gospel, should be resolute in his cause. The enemy may come against you, but you still have to fight. There may be trouble on every hand, but you still have to fight. You may have suffered the loss of some things, but you still have to fight. When we enlist in God's army, he did not tell us that the road would be easy. The enemies of our soul like to sneak in surprise attack. He seeks the opportunity to catch us off guard or to catch us with our guard down so that he can hit us with a devastating blow. So this is why Paul stresses in Ephesians chapter 6 that we must put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is the armor that we were given after we completed basic training, if you will. And it is to be, worn well and not loosely. And it is up to us to maintain our armor and keep ourselves protected so that we could stand in this evil day. We were equipped with everything that we needed to overcome the devil's assault. But what good is it if a soldier will not put on his armor, or if he engages in spiritual warfare half-dressed? The Lord would have us to be well-armed so that we can stand our ground, so that we can resist the enemy's advances and not yield. Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation, he made us more than conquerors through him that loved us. So why should we ever concede to defeat? People of God, This is a time of war. And the Lord needs front line men. Everyone that named the name of Christ should have on, you know, their armor. And they should have their weapons of war sharpened and on their posts. We are smack dead in the middle of a spiritual warfare on a scale that many of us have never seen. The rulers of the darkness of this world are wreaking havoc everywhere and in all places. But the question is, where is God's army? You say that you are a soldier in the army of the Lord and promise to serve him until the day that you died. So where is God's army? They went AWOL. They left their posts and their general without authorization. Some were diverted and drawn aside from their duty to God. Some turned back to the rudiments of the world and abandoned the mission. Some have taken off their armor, put down their weapons of war, and did flee. That is what you call AWOL. You are no longer a soldier if you have turned your back on God. Jesus said, no man, having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Look at the rise of crime in your neighborhoods and all over the world. A blind man would be able to see that all of these activities are demonically charged. But the church is silent. The saints are at ease, and their selfish ambitions has taken precedence over the concern for souls and the care of the ministry. Saints of God, the world is nearing its end, and the prevailing message that needs to be heard is the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The Lord needs your mouth. He needs your voices to tell people about the same liberty and deliverance that you received through Jesus Christ. In conclusion, the Apostle Paul gave Timothy's instructions on the path of a good soldier in this time of apostasy. Firstly, he said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Secondly, he said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Thirdly, not to entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Paul wrote in Galatians 5:1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So if you are entangled again with the yoke of bondage, or have entangled yourself with the affairs of life, you are AWOL and cannot please him who have called you to be a soldier. I don't know who the Lord is speaking to on today, but he is calling his people back into service. You may have left church or certain churches because you were hurt or could not endure some of the mess that was going on in the church. And I clearly understand that. That's understood. But you should have not gone AWOL. You should not have quit God or abort your mission. I'm here to let you know that you have nursed your wounds long enough. Your day is not done. You must work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. We have all gone through some crazy stuff, but quitting is not an option. If you have left your first love, repent, come on back, and do your first works over. Gird yourselves once again. Go get the weapons that you put aside and re-enlist in God's army. On a final note, we must endure. We cannot quit while in the heat of the battle. As soldiers in the army of the Lord, we never give up the fight until the war is over. Amen. Amen. And amen.